Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
And a very intriguing conversation is one that we're going to have, so much so that we've asked you a question on social media about your content consumption trends. That's a fancy way for saying, do you still go to the cinema or have streaming platforms taken over your budget? Feel free to share your voice notes on 063-688-0959. A few of you have begun to share your feedback on social media. Mantua saying, streaming took over. We just relax at home with our favorite Pepsi or Cola. Okay, well, true. Debo Nkomo saying, going to the cinema is very expensive and I think I can go. I can't go at my age as I'll fall asleep. Notkolo saying, I still go to the movies. Last I watched Beekeeper. Okay, so it does seem as though a lot of you are saying that either your consumption trends have changed, like Subs are saying, COVID-19 made me appreciate my streaming services and now I don't even see the need to go to the cinema because all the film productions are working on Netflix. That tells us something. And the reason why we ask you this question is because just this week in the headlines, there was a follow-up to the conversation around Ster-Kinekor, a company which post the pandemic has struggled in terms of sustainability and operational efficiency, primarily because you and I are looking at other options to consume content, but the macroeconomic conditions, load shedding, and of course, perhaps lack of agility within its business model might have contributed to the loss of foot traffic. But to talk to us about some of these themes, especially in a post-pandemic world, as to how it is that the cinema environment is performing, especially from a film and video point of view, we joined in studio by the head of operations at the NFVF, Onke Dumeka. Such a pleasure to see you, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Always a delight to touch base with you. Now, the last time we actually spoke to you here on Kaya Biz, we were reflecting on a report that was compiled by the National Film and Video Foundation, which gave us some perspective on the economic impact of the pandemic on your sector. Mm-hmm. Jobs were lost. If I'm not mistaken, more than billions were essentially also eroded from the economy, and 60% of economic activity had declined there. Unfair question, but have we recovered since?
Yes, but slowly, right? So, I mean, the figures, we don't have them yet because we like to do our research at least with a 3-year gap in between to really get proper data points. But my answer is based on the other initiatives that we've done where there obviously has been overwhelming response, right, from the industry to produce content. And I mean, for example, if I look at a project like PSP,
which stands for
Presidential Employment Stimulus Program.
Got you.
You know, on average, right, when we release a call for PSP, the requested amount in total will be 5 billion with the promise of just over 50,000 jobs.
For one project or
for all of across,
gotcha.
Right? So the industry-wide response, right? Which tells you obviously that there's a high demand.
Mm.
Unfortunately, you're sitting on average a budget of 150 million, right? So your target of jobs is adjusted. But the response to the call just indicates to you the willingness of people to do the work.
Mm.
I mean, you've seen also, I think, a lot of the films that have TX'd of late, a lot of the new, a lot more work happening in TV. The telenovelas, some telenovelas were cancelled, replaced by others. You know, it's really just a full-out cancellation. It's more so a replacement with a different type of story, a different type of, cast or whatever the case is.
So, you're right, we've seen
that. So the cover is there, yeah.
The recovery is there, but it also, brings about a lot of other concerns, right, Onke? As you say, it's been slow, not as satisfactory as what we wanted. And at the time of the pandemic, there was also a lot of criticism towards the government for the lack of support and maybe even the lack of support from other stakeholder groups. Have these calls continued to be ignored, perhaps, or has there been progress in feedback?
Look, I mean, I think people will always express how they think things could go better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Particularly if they're on the receiving end of a decline.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is that South Africa is one of the few countries in the world where you have this extent of government support for funding, particularly in film.
Really?
You don't see that in most markets, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist, for example, in Nigeria. They have a very flourishing film industry, high volume film industry. but you know, you can barely find funding from the government in Nigeria. Sure. So it depends. Obviously, it's different markets, different type of content, but they don't have the same wide spec of resources to go to, right? So it's fine. Maybe you don't get something from the NFEF. If you shot it in Gauteng, perhaps the Gauteng Film Commission will come through for you. You know, KZN Film Commission, NEF, IDC, DTIC. There's options available. Unlike, you know, most regions in the world.
This is refreshing to hear, Anke, because so often we bemoan the fact that we don't have enough support. But as you've illustrated, there's a number of institutions that do provide this kind of funding and additional support. Despite that, is it the fact and the challenge that we're not creating an ecosystem where we have the necessary channels to distribute the content that we create, especially taking a look at the example of Ster-Kinekor looking to close down at least a third of its operations?
Yeah, I mean, for anything to be a success, you have to think of the end in mind, you know, and if you think of just film as a product, the end in mind is definitely your distribution channel. It's the receptivity of it from your audience, right? Mm. How do they consume it? Where do they consume it? You have to think with that in mind. Now, in a country like this, even from a funding perspective, most of the funding is centered around the creation of it, right? So the production, the post-production, and all of that. And the areas of distribution then tend to be a bit more long-term, where it's a natural thing for a filmmaker to want to shop their film around at different festivals, at different markets. The challenge, though, is the time sensitivity, right, of that project. Is you have to find a way to navigate that arena so that you're not sitting on a film that, give or take, you know, was completed in 2018, right? And you're still hustling, right, for that distribution. So, I mean, the thing is, even if there is some type of negativity towards the funding available, I think it's also from the perspective of the fact that if you are in an environment where there are different options, it's only natural to criticize and figure out, okay, well, how better can it be?
Mm.
So it's also, I think, not necessarily a fair thing to say that the industry is wrong, right? If they have issues with the funding, it's just a matter of perspective, really.
Mm. I'm so intrigued by this conversation. It's actually taking on a different journey because, as you explained, we can create the content, we can receive funding for it. The distribution channels continue to remain a significant challenge. But given the change in media, new media, social media, streaming services, does this mean that those would be our only viable options in a market like South Africa in order to make sure that creators can distribute their work?
No. And I mean, I think best practice also helps and looking at different markets and what's happening. You know, I mean, if you look at China, their film industry began in 1896, right? And so they've had time to get this thing right.
Mm.
Between 2019 and 2023, they have built over 1,400 cinemas between 2019 and 2023, right?
That's less than 4 years.
Yes.
Sure.
Last year alone, they built just over 600 cinemas in China. So you ask yourself then, you know, if there are cinemas that close down from one major cinema outlet, traditional cinema outlet in South Africa, does it mean it's the end? Not necessarily, right? Why is there such an interest in a market like China? What have they found about film, right, that makes it a viable thing to invest in?
Some might say great population, isolated economy, right, because they consume their own content.
Exactly, right? So numbers, bums on seats, for lack of a better phrase,
yeah,
that matters. And again, what you're saying, local content, right? A couple of years ago, someone very famous said, you know, you should have 90% local content on TV. And everyone said he was crazy.
Mm.
You know, today, you know, MultiChoice, you were talking about them before, they went from just having your Mnets and all of that
yes.
to now where a lot of their business is really dependent on your Mzansi Magics, Mzansi Wetu's,
yes,
you know, Moja Love,
even local content on Showmax.
One Magic, what is it? Africa Magic, all the Africa Magic channels, right? Mm. The local content on Showmax. So I think when the assumption is that the vast majority of the population are, number one, not interested in local content, and that assumption then creates another assumption that there's no need to invest in cinema outlets in those areas,
mm,
you get to a situation like this, which is preceded by the COVID-19 pandemic, yeah, where streamers, you know, came in at just the right time, and you know, it was a bit of a touch and go for quite a number of traditional cinemas,
mm,
then. But the problem is that COVID-19 was not really the issue, right? So the issue is much more far reaching,
if I'm
into the past, because the strategy and how it's working in so many different markets,
yes,
right, is there. You population, you price it right,
yeah.
Cinemas are highly, highly profitable.
Mm. If I'm hearing you correctly, then what we're seeing taking
can
place
can be highly profitable. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. What we're seeing at Stair Kinico is regrettable, but also avoidable.
I think it is, and I'm not saying it because it's a dream of mine. I'm saying it because I've seen the data. It's there,
mm,
right? India, same thing. You know, an opening night in India, dollar film. You know, Bollywood films opening night in India, they make absolute millions, right? Mm-hmm. And because the structure makes sense, the price and product model makes sense. You know, in South Africa, if you going to a cinema, you're watching a film and it's going to cost you give or take 200 rand, right? And then you must still factor in transport that, yep, you must get there, transport, you must come back. You know, I would rather sit outside, you know, a place with free Wi-Fi and take my phone and download the content on my phone, mm, from the app, Showmax, Netflix, whatever, and go watch it at home, right? DSTV app, right? That's kind of like what you're dealing with now. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not really, I know there are a lot of things that, mm, that the pandemic can be, you can attribute to the pandemic. Some of them could have been avoidable.
Can we fix it?
I think we can, but it's a broader conversation, mm, you know. But it takes best learning, best practice. It takes looking at these things and figuring out what would work best in an environment like South Africa. Looking at markets where, you know, you have similar economies and cinema and similar activity. The fact of the matter is, in South Africa, your films that do well in traditional cinemas, most of them are action-packed, highly marketed, very well marketed, mm-hmm, rom-coms, comedies, you know, from the US, mm-hmm, right? So if it's not Black Panther, if it's not Mission Impossible, if it's not The Fast and the Furious, it's Barbie,
yeah,
right? But again, you know, a lot of the marketing effort that they have there obviously trails down, social media, all of those things count. But it doesn't mean that your mix cannot change and shift to suit this market and suit the economic reality of most South Africans that would flock into cinemas.
I find this so refreshing, because what you're sharing with us is understanding the full value chain, that there is capital to ensure that we're able to produce local content. The creatives are there themselves. They can access and tap into these networks, but we need to follow through with the necessary distribution channels and building up the desire for local demand. I'm intrigued to understand, are we finding that there's a shift in mindset that local demand is one thing, because as you've mentioned, you need to cost it correctly, versus the scalability and international exposure that local creatives might pursue?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, ultimately, local content definitely has the capability to do well anywhere in the world, right? Because, mm-hmm, I think, and you know, your producers also deserve a lot of credit, because they produce great work, right? Mm. They produce globally relevant work. We don't really, I mean, if you look at places like India, Nigeria, whatever, where a lot of their, South Korea, a lot of their content focuses and centers around cultural attributes from those countries, right? Mm. We don't really do that in South Africa, right? It's an option for us to do that. I don't really think we do that. And that's, one could argue that that's not necessarily a good thing. There's no South African Inc. ID. That's one argument. Another argument is you have the posture that South African content creators have now, and you position and you leverage that in the sense that you basically showcase that our content is as global as it gets, yeah. right? It's globally relevant as it gets. You can watch a film. Maybe the accents are all South African accents, but it's not South African culturally centered, right? Mm. So the relatability then, you know, it heightens that up. It's all a matter of positioning, right? And how you... You know, basically how you position whatever you're working with.
Mm. This has been phenomenal. Again, I think a lot of lessons for all of us to actually learn that what's happening at Sterkinico is quite a shame. It should change. We can change it, but it certainly needs a lot more buy-in from various stakeholders. More than that, almost like a mental shift as well from us as consumers. To close off with, I do want to leave it off on a positive note and maybe some optimism that you can share from the NFEF into some of the opportunities you're tapping into. Ongoing support that you're providing for creatives in the space, and I guess what we're trying to move forward to in terms of the future objectives here.
I think the NFEF has been around since 1997. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. And that's supported by an industry that has always showed up, right? That has always proved its worth. I mean, I think even before PSP, you know, I don't think the NFEF would be given that additional funding every year to do the PSP program if it hadn't proven through its results that you have an industry at work, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think... obviously, we have our own limitations when it comes to budget and all of that stuff, but we always do have the intention to readjust and regroup in a way that would better serve the industry within the limitations that we have. But I think the comfort that we have is the fact that, you know, we have an industry that continues to make us proud, right, and continues to make our work as an organization matter.
Definitely. If you are a creative in the industry, do be sure to reach out to the NFVF, that's the National Film and Video Foundation, to make sure that you too can find out more information to actively participate as well in the PSP, the Presidential Employment Stimulus Program. Onke, such a pleasure speaking to you, and thank you for broadening our scope of thinking when it comes to the solutions we should be implementing in this space.
Thank you so much. The PSP call goes out at the beginning of May. Please.
Perfect. Beginning of May. Just a few more weeks to go.
Just a few more weeks.
Do make sure that you keep yourself posted and updated on those developments. That was the head of operations at the NFEF, Onke Dumeka.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.